Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology. Today we are going to take a look at Mercury in Taurus squaring Pluto in Aquarius. Now, Mercury has just entered the sign of Taurus, and so it's at the very early first couple of degrees where it is making a square to Pluto, who is retrograding in the first couple of degrees of Aquarius. So we are going to look at five different things to watch for given the Mercury-Pluto combination. Now, this is taking place in the midst of some other major transits, which we've already been looking at this week and will continue to look at tomorrow, namely Venus going into a conjunction with Uranus at the exact same time that we will have Jupiter Kazemi at the heart of the sun on Friday. So a really big series of events, honestly, and an exciting time to be looking at the astrology. So today we'll focus on the Mercury-Pluto dynamic. If you're looking for content on the rest of those transits I mentioned, we will be looking at the rest of those tomorrow. We've already done so on a few of them earlier in the week, so you can check back on those too. Anyway, that's the goal for today. Before we get into it, as always, don't forget to like and subscribe. It helps the channel to grow when you guys click that little thumbs up button in whatever creative ways you come up with, and we really do appreciate that. You can find a transcript of any of my daily talks on the website, nightlightastrology.com. I'm going to take you over there because tonight, Neptune in Aries. I am giving a talk this evening on Neptune's entrance into the sign of Aries, which happens next year, but it's a good time to be looking at it because Neptune is culminating at the 29th degree of Pisces right now. Go to the events tab, click on live talks, go down and you'll see Neptune in Aries tonight, May 16th, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. If you can't make it live when you do register, we give you the link to attend the webinar, but if you can't make it live, we send you the recording afterwards. So you will be able to watch the recording of that. This is going to be a great talk. We're looking back at the last time Neptune was in Aries in this talk as a way of understanding both the personal and collective dimensions of Neptune in Aries. Did you know that that coincided with the start of the American Civil War in 1861? Yeah, it's pretty, it's a very hefty transit that we're going to be looking at, made all the more intense by arguably the other major conjunction of the decade. One was Saturn-Pluto before the outset of the pandemic. The other is Saturn-Neptune at the outset of Aries. So we're going to be looking at some of these things in this talk, prepping ourselves for one of the biggest transits of the decade, which is a little bit, it's about a year off still, but it's a really good time to start looking at that. So come check it out tonight. The other thing that you need to know is that the first year course, the Hellenistic program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, starts June 16th. The early bird sale expires tomorrow. We extended it by 2 days so that people who are getting paid on Friday, some people are asking us if we could just extend it just a tiny bit. So sure, it's available until Friday, May 17th. You can enroll using the early bird payment or early bird installment plan. And then if you are someone who needs a little bit of help, check out the need-based tuition assistance. You apply, you name your price within a sliding scale. We match you with a plan of monthly tuition at that number. And that is for people who might have a little bit of, maybe you have some constraints financially, or you are just trying to make sure you don't live outside your means. We understand that people are coming from different backgrounds. If you really want to take the course and you need a little bit of help to make it happen, please do use that. We like to make sure nobody's priced out. At the end of today's talk, you will see me tag a video on, as I have been doing through enrollment season, exploring the program and its curriculum in depth. So if you stick around after I sign off today, there is a video that accompanies today's video where I will tell you more about the upcoming program. Next week, I will start looking at the horary program and telling you about that class in case you're interested in starting that one in June as well. So some different opportunities coming up. We hope to see you guys in class. It's a good time to study astrology, by the way, as I'm getting things set up here, because Jupiter's entering Gemini and going to be trining Pluto in Aquarius right about at the time that we start these new programs. It's a very auspicious planetary configuration under which to begin the study of astrology. Those Aries signatures between Jupiter and Pluto are fantastic for the kind of start date of an astrological education. So anyway, just on a side note. Now, today we are looking at five things to watch for, and those five things that we are watching for are directly correlated to Mercury and Pluto. So here we have Mercury in the sign of Taurus. I'm going to point this out right here. Here's Mercury. There's Pluto. They're about a degree off. Let's fast forward this. Tomorrow, they get into the square. So between today and tomorrow, May 16th to May 17th, May 16th to May 17th, Mercury will square Pluto. And then you can see tomorrow we get into what we'll be looking at the end of this week, this big series of events, which involves Venus conjoining Uranus and the Sun conjoining Jupiter. So you go to Jupiter Kazemi at the same time that you have a Venus-Uranus conjunction. Major planetary event right there. Pretty special. So that is what we're looking at over the weekend. And today we're going to focus on the piece that really perfects first, although they're all kind of happening at the same time, as you can see, which is the Mercury square to Pluto. So I'm going to tell you five things that you can watch for with this particular square. Sometimes it's hard to notice this little square happening between Mercury and Pluto that would otherwise take, I don't know, center stage. But when you place it alongside of all these other events, it may be forced into the background a little bit. But it's still a strong archetypal combination. And I'm assuming that you're going to be able to notice some of these themes. So number one is we have Mercury, a planet that is associated with the mind, with philosophy, speech, reason, rationality, but also Mercury is also associated with the magic of the mind. So it's like, don't think of Mercury purely as rational, because Mercury, if you think of Hermes, like Hermes is a bit of a magician. And so insofar as the mind is magical and inventive and not totally predictable and erratic, as well as rational and logical, that's kind of the full-mindedness of Mercury. When Mercury goes into an Earth sign, Mercury becomes invested in things that are sensual and Venusian and earthy and feminine. And so it's a nice place for Mercury. You think about Mercury in Taurus, you think about people who have beautiful singing voices, or you think about people who might be like a good poet or a singer-songwriter. Maybe they have skill playing an instrument or something like that. These are just images, of course. But when you then take Mercury and square it with Pluto in Aquarius, remember, squares are of the nature of Mars. So they tend to initiate action, but also bring up challenging situations or circumstances that may require some effort. Some action is required. So when you put that Mercury, earthy Mercury, into a square with Pluto in Aquarius, one thing that happens is you get the kind of galaxy brain of Pluto in Aquarius, this fixed air sign that has lofty, grand, idealistic views of everything from science to spirituality to sociology. And you put them together and it becomes like Mercury is sort of like a piece of clay. And being impressed upon it is the sort of fixed Saturnian air quality of Aquarius, where it's like, let's impress a new idea upon this fertile and receptive substance of the mind. And so new ideas, new thoughts, new paradigms that are being impressed upon something that has the power to turn that idea into a shape or a form on Earth. This is where, for example, someone might write you a macro plan, how to manage your calories and the split of the macronutrients in your diet and so forth. And you take that plan and you literally impress it onto your body and you get into a rhythm with a new macro split or something. Or maybe it's a meditation regimen that someone recommends and you go, okay, I'm going to take that picture of a meditation structure for my life, how often I meditate, at what times, you know, how many days a week or whatever, and I sort of set it down and I go, okay, now I'm going to embody that plan. So if you think about Mercury in Taurus, you're thinking about a kind of a piece of clay, and the power of Pluto in Aquarius impressing itself upon the clay brings about the power of new ideas to be molded and shaped into our lives materially, physically, sensually. That's one thing to watch for. Number two would be an emphasis on mind-body science. So if you suddenly find that you're watching a podcast on health and wellness and the connection between the mind and the body, you know, whether it's yoga or mindfulness or meditation, anything that suddenly says, hey, here is a cool or interesting application of science that has a direct relation to things like happiness or sexuality or your health or beauty or your skin or, you know, anything like that. So the connection with Mercury and Pluto in these signs to the kind of abstract, intellectual, scientific, Platonic realm of Aquarius, where there are sort of gold standards of human potential or higher understandings of how things work, very Aquarian. And then Mercury in the realm of the sensual, Venusian, earthy, and feminine. And you get the idea of just the topic, broadly speaking, of the intellectual and the sensual coming together for some kind of joint endeavor. And that can mean that you're just taking an interest in those kinds of subjects. You know, like right now, one of the things that I'm doing on the side is I meet monthly with a coach of mine who gives me my programs for working out and diet and so forth. And he used to be a professional bodybuilder. And so I'm learning so much about the science of the body and how the different macronutrients work in your body around different times of day. And you're just so interesting to me. And it's just kind of, I guess, my hobby at the moment. The other thing that I do in my spare time, my other hobby, I have two. One is, I don't know, I don't even know if you'd call it bodybuilding fitness, I guess, broadly speaking. But the other one is guitar lessons. So I take guitar lessons. Mercury Pluto could be like, you know, learning the circle of fifths or learning your new musical theory that is suddenly directly translated into how you play or how you hear music or how you can, your ability to improvise or something like that. So kind of the idea that there might be a connection between your fingers and a theoretical understanding of music, right? That's Mercury Pluto in these positions. So hopefully that makes sense. Number three, powerful forms of communication erupting from the unconscious. Whenever Pluto and Aquarius touch, really doesn't matter what signs they're in. One thing that can come up is like you get that bomb of an email in your inbox or you say that thing that you weren't thinking was a big deal and it ends up being a very big deal on a social media post and you offend a friend or something. not that this has happened to any of us before, but you may find that things you're saying are also just there. It's like volcanic, that there's thoughts, words, ideas, streams of communication, announcements, letters, correspondences that come up and release some kind of pent-up energy or serve as a vivid, suddenly conscious awareness of something that had previously been unconscious. This is a very powerful part of the Mercury-Pluto dynamic in general. And you'll find that people born with Mercury-Pluto contacts are often very intense, passionate, deep, thoughtful, penetrating thinkers or communicators. They like that kind of material. Even stuff that's more challenging and weighty and deep philosophically or in the realm of ideas can come up around this time. Number four are ideas that shift plans or structures. Mercury is often associated with the organization of our lives. It's sort of like the daily neural pathways that expand out into our everyday coming and going. When Mercury hits Pluto, it is as though there is a death and rebirth to the way in which we are organizing thoughts or perceptions or behaviors or attitudes or plans or pathways and activities that are habitual. Suddenly, especially in a fixed Earth sign, the habitual nature of our thoughts, ideas, patterns of activity or behavior go through a transformation. So ideas that shift plans or structures can also mean that there are powerful new ideas that come in and serve as the means by which we suddenly alter the organizational pathways of our lives. And it could be a small thing. It doesn't have to be the world's biggest event, but watch for that. And number five is transformation related to technology, media, or organizational methods. Now, I mentioned this last one, but what I mean is more like you're going to use a new accounting software, or you're now going to use a new email server, or you're using a new app on your website, or any kind of transformation related to tech, media, the use or application of various techniques or tools of craft or trade or organization, and maybe finding some new powerful tool you can use or letting go of one that's not really working. But anything related to tech, media, and broadly speaking, like the tools that you use to accomplish tasks, you'll also see that sometimes those go through significant changes. Now, this could also translate into something as mundane, like literally as my remote control to my TV doesn't work any longer and I need to program a new universal remote. Like, it can be so mundane, especially if it's not making big aspects to anything in our chart right now. You may find that the blip on the radar that you notice is something that simple. But anyhow, this at least puts us into the headspace of what to watch for as this Mercury-Pluto dynamic comes through. Just a short take today to give you a little taste of the Mercury-Pluto dynamic. If you have a story to share, please use the hashtag grabbed or drop a story into our email inbox, grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. Just don't share anything you don't mind us using in a future storytelling episode. I will probably be doing one coming up here shortly. We're going to be looking back at the Jupiter-Uranus dynamic and the eclipses. A lot of good stories around that time I'd like to catch up on, hopefully soon. Thanks to everybody for submitting those. If you stick around after I sign off, you're going to hear more about the year one program. Don't forget, tonight, Neptune in Aries. Come out for that talk from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern time. If you can't make it, we send you the recording link after. You can find that on the website, nightlightastrology.com. Go to the live events tab, and you can click on the link to register for the talk this evening. Again, we send you the recording if you can't make it. So I will sign off. And if you'd like to stick around and learn more about the upcoming program in June, you can do so. Until we see you tomorrow, hope you guys have a good day. Bye. Hey, everyone. Thanks for sticking around. I'm going to tell you a little bit about our upcoming program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, my year one course in ancient Hellenistic astrology that begins on June 16th. If you'd like to learn more about it, of course, you can always do some digging and looking at the course page on your own. I'll take you over there right now and walk you through it. But if you want to, you can go over yourself and look. Nightlightastrology.com is the website. Click on the courses tab and go to the first year course. This is the one that begins on June 16th, the perfect place to start for people who would like to learn more about natal astrology from the Hellenistic point of view. So this is a one-year course in Hellenistic astrology, which is the oldest form of astrology, and it is the form from which all subsequent forms of astrology come from. It shares a lot in its roots with ancient Indian astrology. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what characterizes Hellenistic astrology, but just to familiarize you with this page, when you go to the first year course page and scroll down, you can learn more about everything that's included in the course. Some of the main features include 30 classes on the year. These classes are spread out through units of curriculum. And in between the major units of curriculum, we have breakout study sessions led by our tutoring staff. We also have an interactive group forum discussion that is staffed with tutors year-round. You always get your questions answered within 24 hours. So there's a lot of support built into the program as we work our way through the curriculum. We also have recommended reading, listening, optional quizzes, flashcards, bonus lectures, more than you could possibly read in a year, honestly. So we just have a large and long biography and sort of library of suggested bonus content that will fill in blanks and also supplement and deepen the material that we are studying. You get lifetime access to all the recordings. If you cannot attend the webinars live, they meet on the weekends, but if you can't attend them live, then you are welcome to follow along with the recordings, which are made available to you on the class website. So this class meets on Sundays from noon Central to 2 p.m. Central or 1 Eastern to 3 p.m. Eastern time. And you might translate that, I guess, if you're on the West Coast, it would be what, 10 a.m. to noon Pacific time. During the program, in addition to working our way through all of the major curriculum, the major foundational elements of Hellenistic astrology, we place a strong emphasis on preparing ourselves to read charts for other people. Whether this is a hobby for you or something that you are endeavoring to practice professionally, the course is built for people who are really there for a lot of different reasons. This is your hobby. This is your passion. You hope to do this for really no one other than yourself or maybe friends or family or someone who really decides they want to start a practice. You can take this class at whatever level of interest or depth that you want because of the amount of material that we make available to you inside and outside of class. You always have access to the program too, so you can always, you know, take it at your own pace. You can attend live, follow along with the recordings, some combination of both. And then the breakout study sessions are really helpful in addition to our interactive group forum discussion. You can always ask us questions. You can email me anytime with questions. So we have a lot of support in place. Now, the curriculum, we move through the foundational elements of ancient astrology. You may look at the curriculum and say, well, I know something about these things already, but not really, not unless you've studied Hellenistic astrology, because the way that ancient astrologers talked about houses, signs, planets, aspects, essential dignities, chart delineation is radically different from what most people learn when they start studying modern astrology. The reason for that is that it's only been in the past couple of decades that we have finally had access to the vast majority of ancient texts on Hellenistic astrology. We were literally missing the bulk of our ancient tradition. So the kind of rebirth or reawakening of ancient astrology is really new, which makes this very exciting because everything you've learned in modern astrology is probably coming from the lens of what is called psychological astrology, which is a way of looking at the birth chart in terms of the planet signs, houses, and the way in which they may relate to your psychological makeup or profile. In this way, birth charts are a little bit like an elaborate Myers-Briggs. So you have the personality profiling, which is the way that most people look at planets, houses, and signs. You'll notice they have my Mars, my Venus, and they think of them as aspects or dimensions of your character and personality. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, we utilize much of the same language, and we certainly have that approach available to us in this program because ancient astrologers also looked at the chart in terms of psychological makeup. However, one of the main distinctions between modern astrology and ancient astrology is the emphasis that ancient astrologers placed on prediction. They looked at the chart in terms of a field of karma that defines the native or the individual's fate or destiny. And so we look at houses, signs, planets, aspects as a way of understanding what patterns, themes, and topics are going to be most prevalent and at what times, because they also had a very elaborate system of timing techniques. The year one program is all about learning to read the birth chart and understanding the ancient hermetic sort of Platonic Pythagorean philosophy that was behind the establishment of all of the doctrines and teachings of astrology itself. So it's really about understanding where everything comes from. It's the why behind everything that greatly empowers people when they're learning astrology. It is not nearly the same when you just study lists of adjectives and descriptions for houses, signs, planets, aspects. We want to understand why. Why do we do these things at all? Where did it all come from? And when you understand that, then you have something like a skeleton key by means of which you can access your own creativity, your own intuition, rather than being told, just play these notes in this order and it will sound good. You're learning to improvise, which, you know, could anyone ever want to play? Why would you want to play an instrument if someone told you, well, here's how to play it. Play this, play this, play that. And you never learned how to play something of your own, or you never learned how to use the scales in ways that were magical and, pertain to your own genie, your own genius. So when we study ancient astrology, one of the main things we're doing is we're taking people beyond anything that they think they've learned about houses, signs, planets, aspects, and we're teaching them where it all came from. And once you have that, then you're really cooking with fire. You have a magical, intuitive capacity that is very rare and precious in astrology. So anyway, we move through a lot of different elements, but not in the way that you've ever learned them before. And that's a really important distinction. So anyway, after all of that has been said, in each unit, we spend, maybe up to 10 hours on houses. And then we have a breakout study session. And then we have reading and bonus material. So when we talk about houses in this class, you are learning where the concept of a house ever came from in the first place, what it is, how it works, and how it's different from a sign. You're also going to unlearn and break a lot of bad habits, because not by any intentional ignorance, but modern astrology being bereft of its ancient textual tradition has been teaching a lot of things that are just not in line with where the actual theoretical foundations of astrology come from. So you're also going to break some bad habits, which is really good for people who maybe know a little bit about astrology already, but are seeking to clarify and understand theory in the context of the 2,000-year history of astrology. So anyway, this class is going to prepare you to read birth charts for other people. But then by the end, one of the great things about the program is that the way we do that is not just by pumping you full of theory and history and philosophy. We are also, in the last portion of the program, inviting live clients into the class. And that's great, because when we have live clients come in, you're going to see me read from them using the theory and techniques that we've been studying. And you're going to see how they can be applied artfully, as well as, giving you some tools and methods and techniques to use to set you up for success. Seeing live astrology practice while studying it is the best way to learn. So the last portion of the program, we turn toward that hands-on approach. Anyway, so that's a bit about the program. If you have any questions you want to ask, email us info@nightlightastrology.com. We're happy to answer any questions you have whatsoever. I also want to point people to the payment options at the bottom. Early bird payment saves you $500 off. That is a great way to save. The payment plan is breaking the tuition into 12 monthly installments. If that works better for you, no worries, you can do that. And then need-based tuition. We, for many, many years now, dating back to 2010 when I started teaching astrology, I've always had some kind of sliding scale option available for people when studying astrology. Sacred science like this should be accessible to people of all different socioeconomic backgrounds. So we pride ourselves on making sure that there is tuition assistance available so that if your budget doesn't match with the payment price that we ask for, and that's an honest assessment that we trust you to make, that you can take advantage of the tuition assistance and set your price within a sliding scale that we provide for your monthly tuition for 12 months through the program. So please feel free to apply for that if it makes sense to you. We don't want people hurting themselves or overextending themselves. A price that fits your budget is available through the need-based tuition. We just ask that you apply early because we do fill up sometimes. So anyway, that is it. I hope that you will consider studying with us, and thanks for taking time to learn more about the program. See you later.